Doug Goreem Samayak, and welcome back after a few weeks off to the Shofar Ministries program. My name is Dan with my lovely wife and dedicated Bible teacher, Sheeta Crawford. And we always like to remind our listeners, should you want to re-listen to this or any of our other radio programs, they are all archived on shofarministries.net, as well as our many newsletters for your learning pleasure. And of course, feel free to print them out and share them with others. Let us pray. Abba Father, as soon as we enter into the season of lights, we honor and praise you as the Father and Creator of all lights. Let your light be bright over your true church as we lift up to you our most recent prayer request, asking for your favor according to your will. Because of who we are in Yeshua, we render the enemy powerless over our lives, and most of all, we thank you for your Son, who has saved us from our major disease called sin. And Lord, please soften the hearts of all our unsaved family members, that they will gravitate closer to you. We thank you for your provisions to stay on the air, and bless our faithful givers who make it possible. May you alone be glorified by tonight's teaching, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my dear. Hag Ohim Sameach to you as well, which means Happy Feast of Lights. And he surely is the light of the world. So over the next few weeks, we will examine this very unique 8 days, which this year begins at sundown on December 12th. And even though we do go over this most years, people tend to forget the many gold nuggets associated with this particular feast, referred to as the Lesser Feast of Lights.
Yeah, because there is also a greater Feast of Lights called Tabernacles.
Right, and we covered all that in September.
Mm-hmm.
But Hanukkah is called a minor feast because it came after Torah, as did Purim, thereby not included with the 7 major feasts outlined in Leviticus 23. In my mind, Hanukkah, in a sense, is perhaps even more of an amazing miracle than Jesus' birth, which was on Tabernacles.
Mm-hmm. And we'll leave our newer listeners with that cliffhanger to report a little news that isn't covered on TV.
Right, and they sure are covering many scandals, like the sexual harassments, and there is a boatload of them. And for us to find out, there is a hush slush fund of our tax dollars being used to pay off the accusers of congressmen to stay quiet. That really infuriates all of us. And then, which Hannity, I'm always saying his name wrong, Hannity is detailing quite as well in the Clinton dirt as in the Uranium One deal and the pay-to-play kickbacks, much corruption, sex, and fraud.
And a lot of lying.
Just like how God said it would be.
You know, I doubt whether Hillary will ever be taken down.
Maybe not, at least not in this life, but eventually. But after all, I have read that she is highly involved with the occult, and in fact, I've read that she is even a high priestess, and thereby has demonic protection. Mm. Now, with that said, things could be changing because, well, Satan has been known to turn on his followers when they are no longer useful. Maybe this is her time.
But then again, maybe not.
Well, a lot is going on in Washington this week, like how to avoid a government shutdown.
And the tax reform bill.
Yes, heavily working on that. And they want to hopefully vote on that before the December 12th Alabama election.
Yeah, just in case the Democrat wins.
Right. So President Trump is overlooking Roy Moore's indiscretions so to hopefully keep a Republican in the Senate. And there is also the DACA, and they're going to be talking about more aid to Puerto Rico, which is really still in a very mighty mess down there.
But we need to talk about Israel. Don't hear much TV news about them.
I know, right? We seldom do, and yet there is a lot going on in the Middle East, especially in Syria, that extremely affects Israel, particularly by Iran and its armies to include its proxy army, Hezbollah, headquartered in Lebanon.
And there's a few other smaller ones, too.
Yes, and Iran is preparing to build a large army base or military base, maybe it's navy base, but it's very near, in fact, only 30 miles away from Israel's border on the Golan Heights. And that's just 8 miles south of Damascus, which, you all know, according to Isaiah 17, Damascus will one day become a heap of ruins. So, fulfillment of that verse? Well, it's looking pretty near because Israel openly has stated that they will not tolerate its security being so gravely threatened.
Now, how did Putin respond to Israel's declaration about this?
Well, Russia says Assad of Syria invited Iran, so therefore they can be there, and the UN agrees as well. So many wonder if Netanyahu might compromise by, well, saying they just can't be any closer than 25 miles.
At this point, they would be 30 miles from the border.
That's what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. And, right. But anyway, unfortunately, President Trump doesn't appear to be concerned, although he is pretty occupied right now. Hard to say what's really going on behind the scenes, but God knows, and his word must be fulfilled. So I would conclude that, well, maybe Israel will not right now bomb this army base. However, accidents and false flags do happen. And Saudi Arabia, by the way, does not want Iran in Syria at all. And Damascus is very close to this planned military base. In fact, as we said, it's just 8 miles away.
Yeah, which I think in Isaiah it says will become a heap of ruins.
That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say this very important fact as well. When you read Isaiah 17, verse 1, that gives the account of the ruins of Damascus, notice that just 3 verses later in verse 4, it goes right into what will occur in that day. When Jacob, meaning Israel, will wane and grow lean. Anytime you see the words in that day, it means the last 1,000 years before eternity, which begins with the tribulation. And that's right after our departure. So it could very well be, if we are still here to see the destruction of Damascus, we will be leaving very soon after that because we cannot be here for verse 4.
Yeah, I know excitement will fill me if I see that scripture take place.
Yes, I would agree. Okay, so also, if you want to learn more about the idiom in that day, you can go to our radio archives dated 5/6/2014, where I explain it in detail.
Probably should teach on that again.
I agree. That maybe we could do that in January.
Amen.
Okay, well, anyway, back to Israel. Its Iron Dome defense system did shoot down an unarmed drone last week, and it was heading toward the Golan Heights. Also, Saudi Arabia and Israel are showing great fondness with each other. In fact, PLO leader Abbas was emphatically told by the new Crown Prince Salman to plan on negotiating a peace deal with Israel very soon. And you might have heard that this Prince Salman is making some positive changes in Saudi Arabia as far as corruption amongst its, well, now past leaders. Many suspect a lot of it is connected to child trafficking, and by the way, the Clintons are involved in that too.
Hopefully we'll be hearing more about that in the near future.
I'm thinking so. Oh, and one more thing. Anti-Semitic riots are getting worse in Poland. They're setting many fires, especially to cars belonging to Jews, and clashing heavily with the Polish police. And, of course, shouting for the Jews to go home.
Hitler all over again. About 3 million Jews were killed in Poland during the Holocaust.
Yeah, today there are only about 10,000 Jews there now, but they are starting to make Aliyah, like God said would happen in the last days.
Well, I wonder what will happen in America for the Jews who want to leave.
That is a very scary question. However, now I have some good news to close out the news portion of our program. Most don't realize that although 10 tribes plus Levi have been accounted for in Israel right now. But there have been two tribes short, and that would be Manasseh and Dan. Remember, Scripture says God will bring in all the tribes of Israel, not just 11. Well, just last week, immigrants from those two last tribes have now relocated and entered Israel.
So now all 12 plus Levi have Jews living in Israel.
I know. This is so astounding.
That is.
231 from Manasseh and 69 from the tribe of Dan just arrived. So, also I want to mention that according to Revelation 7, the tribe of Dan is not counted in the 144,000 sealed Israelites. And most believe that is because the first idol worship began with the tribe of Dan. And you know, the sins of the father are visited upon future generations, and there are those who wonder if the Antichrist will have some Hebrew blood, even if he is not aware of it. Only God knows.
Yeah, but the tribe of Dan is included in the kingdom according to Ezekiel 48.
That's right. In fact, all 13 are listed. So it'll all happen. But it really is amazing to be that generation, to see this going home fulfillment of so many scriptures, like Psalm 137, verses 5 and 6, Jeremiah 31, verses 17, Zechariah 8, verse 4, and many others, like Jeremiah 23, 8, and Isaiah 49, 22. In fact, honey, why don't you read any one of those?
Okay, how about Isaiah 49:22? Behold, I will lift my hand in an oath to the nations and set up my standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders.
You know, we have pictures of that. They're getting off the LL airplane with children in their arms and on their shoulders. It just sent many chills up my spine when I saw that on Christian TV a few years ago.
Yeah, it did. I remember that. All right, then. You can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. Remember, the first Friday of every month, Shofar Assembly meets for a worship with a timely Bible study. This Friday, we will also have a Hanukkah candlelight communion service. So make an effort to join us at Chester Christian Center, and that's 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306, in beautiful Chesterland, Ohio. It's 7 p.m.
Thank you, honey.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said, Hanukkah, along with Purim, as told in the book of Esther, is one of the two minor feasts that have a great deal in common in that they both had huge victories over their enemies. Purim was their victory over Haman's army and his 10 sons, and Hanukkah is the victory over its enemy, Antiochus Epiphanes, with his great army. Anyhow, the Jewish uprising against this eventual cruel master, it didn't start out that way, was actually started by the Hasmonean Jewish family, also called the Maccabees, which means hammer. And that occurred during the Intertestament times, but it was prophesied much earlier by the prophet Daniel, actually in his 11th chapter.
So let's detail some background history to Hanukkah.
Okay. Well, let's start in the fact that there have been six world empires. Egypt was first, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and finally
Rome, who ruled right when Jesus was born at the start of 1st century A.D.
But let's go back to the Greek Empire now, to Alexander the Great, who died in 323, I think it was, B.C.
Yep, from alcoholism at only 33.
I know. And then they divided the empire amongst his four generals because all of Alex the Great's posterity were conveniently murdered. Also fulfilling Daniel's prophecy in chapter 11, verse 4. Well, we want to focus on the northeastern area, which included Israel, Lebanon, Syria, and Babylon. And it was under the leadership of the Greek Seleucids, and originally from Syria. Now, eventually around the year 175 BC, Seleucus IV was poisoned by his own minister who thought he could then get his job. But Seleucus had a brother, and he was living pretty comfortably in Rome. His name, Antiochus IV. And as a child, he had been given to Rome as security insurance that the Seleucid family would stay loyal to Rome and pay its promised taxes in exchange for freedom to rule on its own. But now they needed to have him back to take over this northeastern area. So Antiochus IV is then released by Rome after much ransom. And a different family hostage then took his place, and they continued to ally with Rome. So now Israel was ruled by Emperor Antiochus Epiphanes. And it's a name he chose himself because Epiphanes means God manifest, indicating, of course, his utmost arrogance. So essentially, he was calling himself God, just like some of the other Roman leaders did, and also the popes, by the way. But later on, the people called him Epimanus, which means madman, in response to his increasing cruelty. So, Antiochus Epiphanes, a type of the Antichrist, was raised and residing in Rome. And that's an important fact to remember. And then he was called to come back to lead. Now, his ancestors were Greek, not Syrian, and not Arab. Like some say or want to conclude that the Antichrist must be a Muslim. No. Daniel 9 says he will be from the same peoples who destroyed the temple soon after Jesus died. And that was Rome. And Antiochus Epiphanes was raised in Rome. Okay, do you see the connection? Anyhow, Antiochus Epiphanes was very charismatic and came in peacefully, with much flattery, and you can read that in Daniel 11, verse 21. And he even paid back all the taxes that Syria owed and the surrounding Roman provinces that were beginning to gain power. Now, others were vying for the rulership, of course, but Antiochus Epiphanes attained it because they originally liked him and his style. He also, as the Antichrist will, made a treaty with Israel's leader, who then was the high priest Jason, only to break it a few years later. And you can read that in Daniel 11, verse 23. And then, instead of Jason, Antiochus Epiphanes made Manelius the new high priest. But then, while Antiochus Epiphanes was visiting in Rome later on, Jason's army then fought to recapture his position back from Manelius. And of course, this infuriated Antiochus, who immediately returned. And in 169 BC, he went on a rampage and slew 40,000 Jews and then sold many into slavery. He also boiled pig's flesh and sprinkled its broth throughout the temple, stole the sacred vessels, stopped their worship, and offered swine on the altar. Now, Matthew 24:15 addresses this abomination, where Jesus compares the Antichrist with doing the same abomination. Anyhow, then, in 167 BC, Antiochus Epiphanes also made the ultimate abomination when he made his own face on the statue of Zeus, placed it in the temple, and declared himself God, demanding everyone's worship, killing anyone caught reading the Torah or keeping any Jewish law, including circumcision. He even forced them to eat pork. Unfortunately, Many Jews gave in and assimilated into the Greek culture to escape death, and most even worshipped the idol. Yet, a remnant held strong, for which they underwent great torments. These included whippings that would tear their bodies to pieces and much more horrendous torture. And this is according to the first century historian Josephus. Finally, Mattathias from the priestly tribe with his five sons from the family of Hashmon rebelled and started the first war for religious freedom. A heroic revolt, killing many, even a fellow Jew, because they caught him worshiping at the pagan statue, along with killing the emperor's commissioner who was overseeing it. Now you ask, why would they kill one of their own instead of just rescuing him? Well, they believed that even though the Jews were forced, the Maccabees felt the Jews should have gone to their death before worshiping a false god. And that would apply to us today as well, because there will come a day when those in the tribulation will have to choose whom they will serve or will they die. Now, we're going to continue next week and probably the week after that, because there's so many gold nuggets I want to share with you. But I want to ask you this last question. What would you do if you had to make that decision? Honestly, is Jesus Christ Lord over your life? If not, make sure that he is. Repent and ask him into your heart again. If you've already done it once and you've fallen backwards, do it again. And if you've never done it before, do it quickly. We are really in the closing days. And he's really knocking at your heart right now for two things: to get to know him or to get to know him more, because time is running out. And be sure that your relationship with Jesus is intimate. And I mean not just some head knowledge, well, you know you're supposed to worship the Lord and so therefore you will and you believe in him, but is your relationship intimate? And of course, that comes down to, are you in his word? Because that's the only way you can know him intimately. So, again, how can you be sure? If Jesus is your betrothed one, you will have that desire and a passion to be in his word, to be in his presence. And John 1 says, he is the word. More word, more Jesus. Is that simple? So crucify your flesh. Crucify your lazy flesh and just do it. All right, I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, and of course that comes from Numbers 6, 22 through 27. Yivarekaka Adonai v'yishmereka, Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'yuneka, Yasei Adonai panav eleka v'yasem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's shalom. So, till next time, sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, we're talking about Jerusalem, if you really love her, he says you're going to prosper in all areas of your life. So, read that this week. Underline it in your Bible. It's Psalm 122. Verse 6, it's a great promise. And we'll see you next week. Make sure to tell someone. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address: Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.